David Lloyd.
It's 15 years this week since this shock news.
BBC Radio 1 Newsbeat.
John Peel, the longest serving DJ at Radio 1, has died. He was on a working holiday in Peru with his wife Sheila when he had a heart attack in their hotel. They had four children. John was with Radio 1 since the beginning in 1967. Controller Andy Parfitt told us more about what happened.
It's very hard to get John to take any sort of holiday away from the station, but he had gone on holiday and he'd gone somewhere that he'd always wanted to go with Sheila. He died of a massive heart attack in the hotel. No one could do anything for him. Sheila is out there, you know, with him and making arrangements to come back to the UK.
He was one of Britain's most celebrated broadcasters, presenting on Radio 4 as well as Radio 1. In 1998, he was awarded an OBE. Tony Blair has called him a unique voice.
He's someone who will not just be deeply missed, but I think we're all aware of the fact he was a genuine one-off and a very warm and decent human being too.
Tributes from bands and artists have been flooding into Radio 1.
Those responses give just some idea of the stature of John Peel and the fondness he enjoyed. His radio life started in the United States as a spokesman about Matters UK.
It was a small record shop in London that caters to these sort of, you know, collectors of these sort of records. And it's 77 Charing Cross Road, which is the reason it has a name. And they just put out 99 copies of each record they make, because otherwise if they made 100 and make it a regular release, they'd have to pay tax on it. Just 99 copies in the account.
Then it was back to Blighty and the pirate Radio London.
The whole LP actually is very, very impressive in my estimation, and you know, it's produced and everything by Andy Warhol, who's, if that's how you pronounce it, and I hope it is, and we'll be playing bits of that during the next couple of weeks in the Perfume Garden. So as I advised you before, wander through in our midst, pick out a flower from the perfume garden and plant it somewhere in your mind, and maybe it'll be memorable. I hope so.
Then on to the BBC, and this was his first show there.
I might mention that Arthur Brown and myself will be appearing at Middle Earth tonight. I shall be wearing my latest rather daring ensemble of hand-laminated rice paper, which I had whipped up over the weekend.
Yes, it looks absolutely dashing, I must say.
Thank you. I might mention that Peter ate a paper cup during that past last record, so if someone keeps him talking, I'll run for help.
Well, I'm waiting for the coffee, actually, so I couldn't wait. So I ate this. It isn't paper, It's something else.
Yes, yes, it is indeed, yes. So is this next song from tomorrow, as a matter of fact. It gets cleverer by moments. Okay. And featuring Keith West, this is Real Life Permanent Dream.
John heard there on his first Radio 1 show. And then as the years flew by, his trademark approach grew.
And the first of our sessions tonight, that from Joy Division, all new stuff. The session produced by Tony Wislin. And the first title, Sound of Music. That can't be The Sound of Music.
I just come back from a week at Watergate Bay near Newquay in Cornwall, and thoroughly enjoyed myself. A bit of sunshine, played tennis, which I've never done before in my life much. I mean, about four or five times, and did a bit of swimming, although not very much, and almost went to see Bruno Brooks in the Radio 1 Roadshow in Newquay. Unfortunately, the car broke down on the way to the thing. Water in the tank, one of those things.
John Peel heard there in the 60s, 70s and 80s as we mark 15 years since his death. I was talking actually to David Jensen the other day, who said that at one stage John Peel was considering joining Capital Radio. Life could have been very different. Commercial radio now, and 45 years ago this week it was Liverpool's turn. Here's Bill Bingham.
6 a.m. on Monday, October the 21st, Merseyside will have its very own 24-hour-a-day radio station. Radio City will be broadcasting 24 hours a day, 365 days a year from Liverpool to more than 2 million people in the greater Merseyside area. News, local, national and international, on the hour, every hour. Music, from Eric Clapton to Crumhorns, from Wagner to Wings, and the pick of the local...
When we arrived to start work at Radio City a month or so before we were due to open in October 1974, it was a bit of a mess. I think the newsroom was pretty well established. They had the teleprinters there and the desks and the typewriters. The studios were still being constructed. And much of what we prepared, the trailers and the test transmissions, we made in studios with wires hanging out of the ceiling or out of the floor. The desks were just about working. But yeah, it was a mess. We worked our socks off. We had hardly any sleep. I can remember falling asleep in the corner of the studio between voiceover sessions, but perfectly happy about it because it was all so thrilling.
For the very first time, this is 194 Radio City, broadcasting to Merseyside.
there was this huge camaraderie of people who worked in the first great wave of commercial radio, mostly because most of us were making it up as we went along.
Gillian Reynolds, Radio City's first programme controller and the first woman to programme a commercial station. Capital had nearly had Ruth Leon, but she was replaced by Michael Bucht just before launch. It's 21 years this week since Frank Gillard died. Frank had been an accomplished war correspondent, a senior BBC executive. He dreamed up such programmes as Any Questions. But most famously, he was the person who convinced government and the BBC of the case for local radio, helped by demonstration recordings of just how it might sound.
I spent more than 4 years quartering the United Kingdom with the ferrograph in the boot of my car and with this demonstration tape. And I gave hundreds of demonstrations of it in city halls, in universities, in community centres, to group after group after group of members of Parliament and members of the House of Lords. Hugh Green came down with me to hold my hand. And, the, you know, there were 1,000 mayors and town clerks and so forth, a very important body indeed. But this stuff was very, very convincing. And in the end, by the end of 1966, the government, was now a Labour government, could no longer say, we don't see any evidence that people want this thing, because the evidence was overwhelming. Everybody was saying, well, why don't we have this? It seems a good show, you see.
Frank Gillard, who died this week in 1998. So with Radio Mercury launching for Reigate and Crawley 35 years ago, Nell Hart.
This, for the very first time, is Radio Mercury. Good morning, and I'm Ed Stewart, welcoming you to the very first transmission of the 48th station in the independent local radio network.
GLR replacing Radio London 31 years ago.
GLR, as heard but not seen in London, as from 6:30 in the morning, Tuesday the 25th of October.
Seven Sound launching in Gloucester 39 years ago.
Yes, we've just begun. We're here until 8:30 today, why don't you stay with us? Indeed. Why don't you stay with us permanently?
And Capital selling off most of its restaurant businesses for £11 million 20 years ago to concentrate on core radio interests. Those are this week's Radio Moments.